From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's fault. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of his second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, broadcasting live from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky, this 11th day of March 2017, which means that we are just 56 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 27 seconds away from the Run for the Roses on Saturday, May 6th. Of course, we'll be there to bring you that exclusive coverage in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. A couple of hours coming up this morning where we're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby. There are a couple of major stepping stones on the docket for this afternoon, including the Tampa Bay Derby at Tampa Bay Downs in Florida and the San Felipe Stakes out in California. And keep in mind, the Californians have really dominated the Kentucky Derby in recent years. Will they continue that this year? Well, we're going to find out. But some of those horses and hopefuls hoping to take the next step on the road to Louisville later today. JT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I don't really care about the Derby. I want a countdown clock for the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup.
For next year?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, not for this
year. It's less than a year away.
It is less than a year away. How about that? By the way, last week we're broadcasting from the beautiful tropical paradise of Barbados. Now we're back in a chilly Lexington, Kentucky studio. The studio's pretty warm, but it's a little chilly outside.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Talk about from one extreme to the other.
Yeah. Steering wheel, ice cold this morning driving in. And I'm thinking, what's the deal here? It was so nice last Saturday.
Once again, our thanks to everybody with the Barbados Turf Club. Rosette Pierce, the CEO, who just went out of her way to set everything up for us, and all the folks that work behind the scenes with our tech setup, with the internet connections and the sound and audio and all those different things. They really went above and beyond. We can't thank them enough, and we do hope to be back there again next year for that tremendous race. Then you had the Barbados Tourism Association and Petra Roach, who was instrumental in bringing us back there again this year. Can't thank Petra enough, and you can go to visitbarbados.org to learn more about booking your next trip to Barbados. And Jude, it was kind of nice to find out during the races, we ran into two different people that were there because they listened to our program here in the States, and listen to us talk about Barbados all year long and how great it is. They decided to make a trip to the Sandy Lane Gold Cup this year. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was very flattering and nice to see. And those are the two people that we actually, you know, saw. But I'm sure there were others that were there,
yeah,
because of our shows and our love of the country and the people. The people there are just fantastic. All over, wherever you go in Barbados, everybody's just super nice.
Yeah, and unlike Bill Mentes, who was there about 2 or 3 weeks ago with his family, he was there on vacation. He told us he was going because he heard about us talking Barbados on this program. But we didn't realize that those other individuals were going to be there. They came up and saw our banner and came up and talked to us. And one lady, I was actually standing in line to use the restroom, and she was going into the ladies' room, I was not going into the ladies' room. It was right next to the men's room, and she was standing there in line for the ladies' room, and she turned and saw my HRN shirt and said, "I'm here because of your podcast." And she was from Toronto, Canada. How cool was that?
Yeah, that's great, and it really is nice when people stop by and talk to us and tell us that they they love the show. And, you know, when you're in a foreign country and that happens, that's really cool.
You know what the moral of the story is?
What's the moral of the story?
It pays to advertise with HRN.
That's right.
That's it. I mean, that's the moral of the story. There's three different people that we know that made a trip to Barbados. I'm sure there were more. Those are just the three that we know about.
Yeah.
Right? Because of visitbarbados.org being involved with this show as a sponsor. Three people directly correlating to that sponsorship.
Yeah. And like you said, I'm sure there's more. And I think everyone that we've talked to about their trips have loved it, have told their friends, and that's how things grow. And it is a great experience if you have a chance. And you don't have to necessarily go for the Gold Cup. Check BarbadosTurfClub.org for racing dates, because they race every other Saturday. And once in a while, if it's a national holiday or something, they'll have a special card. But what a great card it was, too. First time in the history of Barbados Racing, they had 12 races on Sandy Lane Gold Cup Day.
Yep.
And that was very good. Full fields. The wagering was good. It was kind of a chalky day, but it was a fun day to be there. And
just, and congrats to Dorsett.
Yeah, Dorsett. Fantastic. Back-to-back victories in the Gold Cup. A horse that was claimed by our friend Safi Joseph just for the race last year. And Robert Pierce done a fabulous job of getting him ready last year. And this year, he hadn't won a race since his Gold Cup victory. Comes back to Garrison. He made a trip down to Trinidad for some races, and he had some trouble. Robert told us that he had to stop very, very sharply in a race, and it kind of affected his ankles and his feet. He wasn't 100%, but he had told us going into the race he had trained as good as he trained last year for the race, and he looked spectacular on the track. The minute he came out on the track, you just knew he was in good form. He had a beautiful coat, and he was on his toes and ready to roll. And he got up late to win the race. It was very exciting.
I'll work on getting you the countdown for next year. But in the meantime, we can begin now to really focus on that road to the Kentucky Derby, which is truly heating up. I mentioned the San Felipe and Tampa Bay Derby taking place later today. Those races all going to be heard here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern. You'll be able to listen right here on Sirius XM 93, and you'll be able to stream that coverage worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And that coverage part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series, all presented by the FTBOA. And Jude, because of that, that broadcast from 5 to 6 not only includes the San Felipe and Tampa Bay Derby, but the Silks Run, which is always a fun race. And you have a little horse down there by the name of Power Alert, who is looking to win the race, what, three times now, if he can pull it off?
Yeah, he's a really cool horse. Brian Lynch done a great job with him and imported him from Australia. And he's just really been a force in that division, the turf sprint division. And looking forward to watching him run again. He's going to get the firm turf that he likes. It's not the best when it comes up a little, given the ground, as they say in Europe.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's going to get his firm turf today, and he should be tough right back.
And don't forget that coverage also available in Spanish from 5 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in to Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, 5 to 6 Eastern, HRRN and Espanol.com. All right, a poll question for today before we tell you what's ahead on this two-hour program this morning. Five jockeys are nominated to this year's Hall of Fame: Robbie Alvarado, Javier Castellano, Victor Espinoza, Garrett Gomez, and Craig Perrett. Those are the five: Alvarado, Castellano, Espinoza, Gomez, and Perrett. Which of these riders gets your vote? That's it. It's simple. Which of these riders gets your vote? If you have a vote for the Hall of Fame, which of those riders are you putting in? Keep in mind, you can vote for multiple riders. It doesn't have to be just one. So we want to hear from you. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRN on Twitter. We'll pass along those results as we move throughout the program here today. How about you, JT? Which of those riders are you going to make sure gets in the Hall of Fame this year?
Well, I think Javier Castellano is kind of a standout in that group. And then the rest of the guys are very deserving. Robbie Alvarado, it's one 5,000 races,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Victor Espinoza has won derbies and other big races, regular
Triple Crown
rider for Triple Crown, yeah, regular rider for California Chrome. I think he, they're all deserving.
Yeah, they are all deserving.
Every guy on that list is deserving. Craig Perrette, for some people who don't know him, he was a great rider. Rode a lot in Kentucky and won several big races, and just a guy with tremendous talent. Garrett Gomez, you know, you can't say enough about him. He was a great guy and you know, tremendous rider.
King of the Breeders' Cup in some ways.
Yeah.
Mike Smith will take umbrage with that title because he's won more Breeders' Cup races than any jockey in history. But Garrett was well on his way before things kind of went south for Garrett there.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody on that list is solid. So
speaking,
you
of,
can't make a bad choice.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, one other note. Just want to send congratulations to our good friend Mike Battaglia, who this week was elected to the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Mike, longtime track announcer here in the Bluegrass at Turfway Park. He called it Churchill. Somebody who has just done so much in the game. He's been part of NBC's television coverage for a long time, and one of the nicest guys you will ever meet, and a tremendous broadcaster, great race caller.
Yeah, he's all of those things, especially one of the greatest guys you've ever want to meet. He's a tremendous ambassador for our sport, loves the game. His family's been in it for over 100 years, and just outstanding, absolutely outstanding guy.
Okay, here's what you can look forward to over the next 2 hours. When we come back from our first commercial break, we're going to head right down to South Florida and Gulfstream Park and be joined by Mike Nyman, the director of marketing at Gulfstream. He'll tell you what you can expect today. He'll look back on last weekend's Fountain of Youth, which was simply tremendous. Great day for Gulfstream. Mark Hennig is going to join us at 8:35 Eastern. Mark sends out Beasley in this afternoon's Tampa Bay Derby. Should be a fun interview. There's a great backstory there as well. Yesterday, Jude had the chance to talk with Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, who has won the San Felipe a record 5 times. He has the favorite again this year in Mastery. You'll hear that interview at 9 Eastern. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables, who is selling his horses this week at the OBS sale, the 2-year-old in training sale in Florida, is going to join us right around 9:25. And at the end of the program, 9:45, we will take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway. And Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita, is going to join us to talk about a massive day out there, not just the San Felipe for the 3-year-olds, but you also have the Big Cap and so many other great races. That's all later today at Santa Anita. Mike Willman will wrap up the program with us later today. A lot of things to get to. Mike Nyman on deck next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with 3 black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the Bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by 5 in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Billy Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Adina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Racing fans, don't miss one of the biggest days of the year. It's Santa Anita Handicap Day this Saturday at the Great Race Place. Come early. Special early first post time for an 11 race card is at 12 noon and admission gates open at 10 a.m. Along with a big cap at a mile and a quarter, we'll have two additional grade one stakes, the Triple Bend at 7 furlongs and the Frankie Kilroe Mile on Turf, and top three-year-olds will compete in the Grade Two San Felipe at a mile and a 16th, the final major stepping stone to the $1 million Santa Anita Derby on April 8th. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Amelia's Wild Ride is down on the inside. 2.5 lengths off of Power Alert as they come to the top of the stretch. Power Alert off the turn in front. Amelia's Wild Ride with a perfect trip slips through on the inside and now angles out to try to come and get Power Alert. These two down to the last 16th together. Power Alert and Amelia's Wild Ride. Power Alert still going strong. Amelia's Wild Ride can't get there. Power Alert has won. Amelia's Wild Ride was second. And then a photo between Hother Sol and Do the Roar, followed by Star Contender.
Larry Coleman's with the call of last year's Silks Run. Power Alert getting the victory that day. He looks for the three-peat later this afternoon in that Silks Run Stakes. It's all part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage presented by the FTBOA. You're going to hear that race live with us beginning 5 o'clock Eastern, 5 to 6. Make sure you're locked in. Sirius XM 93 and horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Jude Feld back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios and heading down to South Florida now to visit with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. Mike, welcome, my friend.
Hey, good to hear you guys. How's everything going up there?
It's cold.
Well, you could have been here. You know, it's going to be 80 and sunny again. I hate to tell you that.
Yeah, no.
See you, Mike.
Preaching to the choir.
Appreciate you being here, my friend. That was good.
Have a great day.
Hey, well, you know, we talk about the sun shining brightly on my old Kentucky home. That's how the song goes. But, you know, the sun's been shining brightly on this championship meet at Gulfstream. And all you have to do is look back to last weekend's Fountain of Youth Day. What an afternoon. From a handle perspective, from a racing perspective, all the stars really did line up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, we totally knocked it out of the park again on one of our premier days. As you mentioned, our handle was up again, double digits, and it was a great card. You know, I think as I mentioned last week on the show, you know, even with no disrespect to the Florida Derby Day, the actual card from top to bottom on Fountain of Youth, to me, is the best card of the whole year that we run here, as far as, you know, all the graded stakes we had going on that day. And it was just great racing, and the crowd was really fired up, and we just another great day at Gulfstream. It's just been great here, this whole meet.
Well, you know, it was a great card, but that's kind of a preview day for Florida Derby Day too, because those stakes have follow up races, so you got a lot of bright spots to look forward to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, every Saturday here during the championship meet, the card has been really, really good. And even on a day like today, where we don't have any graded stakes, you know, we have two, you know, solid stake races, and they're very popular type of races today. Of course, 5 furlongs on the grass, which, you know, I don't even know 20, 25 years ago if we even had races like that. I know it's more towards, you know, the last, I think, 10 years that it got really popular. So, and you always see these races, they're always full, you know, full fields, and they're always very competitive, and they're always exciting type races. So, you know, even races on days like today, you know, where we don't have any graded stakes, it's still a great card.
Yeah, go ahead, JT.
Big mandatory payout today too, huh?
Well, there's no mandatory payout today. There's some guarantees, though. We have a guarantee on the pick six at $600,000 today. So it's not a mandatory, but it's a guaranteed pool that Gulfstream's putting up, along with the late pick five, which will be guaranteed at $200,000, and the late pick four at $250,000 on a 13-race card today.
I got bad information. I'm glad you clarified that.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That wasn't your fault.
No, don't. He's still going to play it, Mike. Don't worry.
It didn't come from your office.
Visiting with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, one other aspect of what's taking place at Gulfstream today is really, really exciting. That's the TSG Ultimate Betting Challenge. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is an exciting tournament. It's the second time we've run it. We do it in conjunction with Santa Anita, so there'll be players playing out there as well as playing players here. So they'll be playing on the Gulfstream Park card and the Santa Anita card. They put up $4,500 into this tournament, $3,000, which is live money, and $1,500, which goes into the prize pool. There was all kinds of feeder tournaments going on with some of the online partners we have. And so people qualified that way, and we'll probably have 150 to 200 people playing in this tournament today. And one of the nice things we've just added to it, if you win this tournament and then you go on to win the BCBC, the Breeders' Cup Challenge, there's $1 million bonus that that Santa Anita and Gulfstream has put up for that.
Wow.
How about that?
That's pretty special.
Yeah,
so it's not too late. So if you're out in these areas, you know, you're in the L.A. market or here in South Florida, you can still get over here and you can still play in the tournament today.
Mike, we started looking back on that Fountain of Youth Day, and we talked about the success with the handle, and you said, hey, we knocked it out of the park again, and you really did. But how about the performance of Gunavera? You were there. You got to see it in person. What a performance by Gunavera.
Well, I don't want to pat myself on the back and break my arm too much, but I remember last week on the show, and I know you guys can always go back to the tape, but that was the horse that I picked. yes, and I had mentioned Three Rules also, who I liked, and ended up running third. So I wasn't a bit surprised. I thought off the Holy Bull, you know, and I'm more of a trip type of handicapper. You know, I like to watch horses that, you know, have had rough trips and know that the next time out they should improve. And that's what I kind of thought from the Holy Bull to the Fountain of Youth for Gunavera, that horse would improve. And, man, he came like a rocket in the stretch.
Mike Nyman feeling his oats this morning here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, talking a little smack, doing a little bragging. And you know what, Mike? You should, because Gunavera ran lights out. All right, I'll put you on the spot. Who wins the Silks run today?
You're going to ask me that, and I'm going to hate to tell you, I haven't looked at the card yet. I was just getting ready to do that after I got off the radio with you, so I can't give you a horse that fast. But next week, I'll be a little better about that and look at the stakes. But I've just been so busy. We're so busy here, you know, getting ready for the Florida Derby, that sometimes I just, you know, miss out on the best part, which is actually looking in the program and watching the races. But you know, that goes along with the territory here, so obviously it's the job first.
Mike, you're preaching to the choir. We do the same thing when we're on site. You know, we'll be going on the air at 4 o'clock, and Jude and I will look up and they've run five or six races already. And you go, when the heck did that happen? Because you're so busy getting ready for what you need to do with your job that you, you know, kind of overlook the other aspects of it, which are some of the races that you're not covering. But how about giveaways? Any other giveaways that folks can look forward to over the next few weeks of the championship meet?
Well, the next giveaway we'll have will be the day after the Florida Derby. We have an amazing April, an amazing umbrella to wheel in April, the month of April, which we all know is April showers. So on that Sunday, you know, with the purchase of a program, you'll be able to get our beautiful Gulfstream umbrella. And it's a really incredible artwork that we had put on that with all the horses and everything on the top of it. It's very colorful, and I think people will be very proud to have one of those. So day after the Florida Derby, you know, if you're here for the Florida Derby, definitely come out the next day, and we'll have all kinds of things happening as well. And then we'll start the following Wednesday on the 5th there with our spring summer meet, and we're looking forward to that. And of course, we'll have a lot of good stake days with the Summit of Speed coming around the July 4th holiday, and then we'll go on to the Sire Stakes, which we run, as everybody knows, on three Saturdays during the season, which Three Rules swept last year. So we'll see who the good Florida-bred two-year-olds are during the summer and get ready for next year, right?
That's it. It keeps on rolling, and you're certainly on a huge roll at Gulfstream. The handle figures are through the roof, and that's impressive because a lot of tracks are having problems in that regard, but you guys are just killing it.
Yeah, we've done a lot of good things here. You know, when I came in here, we started with, of course, with the Rainbow Six, and it seemed to right away take off, and it still continues to be popular, you know, 6 years later. Some of the other, you know, early bets we've added, which helped us this year, was adding an early pick five. That's definitely attributed to the assisting in our handle. I mentioned last week that we've lowered our pick three to 50 cents. So this place is very reactive to the customers, to the horsemen, you know, to doing whatever we can that makes sense. It's great about working here and for this company is that because they're really, you know, poised on horse racing, they're willing to try a lot of different things. And for somebody like myself that works in marketing, it makes my job a lot easier. And they understand, you know, not everything works all the time. Sometimes things don't work, but you have to try it. And if you don't try things, then you're never going to really know. And that's been the good thing. As long as, you know, you have good logic behind and a good plan, what you're trying to do. And that's worked out well here. We just, you know, started it all when I came in here just to try to bring it all back, start on track, and just give the customers a better experience than I thought they're getting in the past, and really treat them first class. I think we've been able to do that. It shows in our market and with the crowds that we get here every weekend, and, of course, in our handle nationally. We've been able to market our brand and really make it extremely powerful. And I mean, test to that is, you know, the Gulfstream Park West meet that once we, you know, leveraged our branding onto that meet, you know, we tripled the handle. So it's been good. Yes, it's a tough deal when you're in a flat industry and you're trying to grow your business. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, over time as a person that works, you know, in a local market, that sooner or later we're going to get back to where we're going to have some kind of really a national sport. And I know it's always talked about, you know, ad nauseum already, but it needs to be done. We need to have a commissioner and obviously national medication rules and even things that I'd like to see today, like in sports, you know, with the stewards. I think we should have a set of stewards that look at all the races from all the tracks, you know, help the consistency. I think the fans will appreciate that better. And then we can market the sport on a national basis that way. And I think that'll help everybody and really, you know, grow the whole industry and get back to, you know, where we really want to be.
Nobody better. He's Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, I know it's a busy day for you. You have to head over to the breakfast at Gulfstream, taking place every Saturday. We'll let you do that, and we'll remind listeners one more time that if they're around Gulfstream or they're in the area of Santa Anita today, they can head out and play in the TSG Ultimate Betting Challenge, and they should do it. It's a great contest, and I tip my hat to you for putting it all together. Well done.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And, of course, I have to give a lot of credit to my staff and Nancy Berry, our marketing manager here, does a great job.
Awesome. Mike Nyman here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the day.
You too. Thanks a lot, guys. Great talking to you.
And again, that coverage of the Silks Run and the Tampa Bay Derby and San Felipe, all coming your way 5 o'clock Eastern, part of Saturdays at Gulfstream, presented by the FTBOA. You can listen if you're just joining us, SiriusXM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Gulfstream. Wish we were there.
Rolling, clicking right along. Yeah, a day like this when it's a bit chilly outside, you do wish we were there.
I do. Most of the time I wish I was there.
All right, it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back with more right after this, including trainer Mark Henning. Stay with us.
This is the capsulized story of a man who was born in New York City on April 17, 1876. He graduated from Groton, Harvard, and Harvard Law. He inherited his 2,500-acre farm near Bowie, Maryland, and at first loaned out his stables. As his interest and involvement grew, he began breeding and racing horses in his renowned silks, White, Red Spots, Scarlet Cap. He became a prominent banker and sportsman and raced not only with enormous success in this country, but with recognized success in England as well. He bred the vast majority of the horses he raced, most of them at A.B. Hancock's Claiborne Farm near Paris, Kentucky. His own farm in Maryland was devoted mostly to the care of weanlings and as winter quarters for his racing stock. In addition to the success his horses enjoyed on the racetrack, he was equally as well known for the support he steadfastly afforded to measures meant to benefit breeding and racing and to keep the sport on a high plane. In 1935, when he was a guest of the Thoroughbred Club of America in Lexington, Kentucky, he was quoted as saying, quote, "I am very anxious to see the day before I shuffle off this mortal soil when the English will recognize our American studbook in its entirety," end of quote. He raced some of the very best horses in England, thereby showcasing the class of American bloodlines. His primary objective was a victory in the Epsom Derby, a goal he never achieved, sad to relate, but his horse, Prince Simon, was second by a head to Galcador in 1950. His horses won the Kentucky Derby, indeed. Gallant Fox in 1930, Omaha 1935, Johnstown in 1939. Gallant Fox and Omaha both went on to win the Triple Crown. Johnstown barely missed all three jewels by running fifth to Chaladon in the Preakness. Among other racing standouts carrying his colors to the winner's circle were Fairno, Apache, Fenelon, Bonnie Beryl, Granville, Gaffaman, and Vagrancy. He was known as a man of utterly remarkable energy and often climbed out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch his horses work out under the eye of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, who trained for him for 30 years. In the world of business, he was the president of New York's Hanover National Bank from 1910 to 1929, and after a merger, chairman of the board of Central Hanover Bank and Trust. His career as a banker had incepted in 1903 after having served 2 years as secretary to the American ambassador in Great Britain. One of the most markedly important contributions to American breeding was his partnership venture with Marshall Field, R.A. Fayburn, and A.B. Hancock, importing the great stallion Sir Galahad III from France in 1925, a stallion who became tremendously influential on and a cornerstone, I might add, of American breeding. This particular man was quoted in 1935 as follows, quote, "I believe in changes if they mean advancement and improvement, but as a sports writer friend of mine complimented me by calling me a gentleman of senile virility, I think I may say that the advancing age of the turf is an asset rather than a liability," end of quote. The man herein being profiled was indeed a man of wisdom, foresight, and unqualified personal integrity, and was a man whose racing colors still burn brightly on the pages of racing history, White, Red Spots, Scarlet Cap. He was Mr. William Woodward.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street. And it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street, TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coes in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
At the top of the stretch, Animal Kingdom's in about the sixth path and beginning to close relentlessly on the far outside. Shackleford has the lead from Astrology, a length of furlong out. Animal Kingdom on the outside begins to roar home. Animal Kingdom and Shackleford's got the lead. Shackleford, Animal Kingdom reaching on the outside. Shackleford has done it. Jesus Castan on a half from Animal Kingdom. Astrology was there and dialed in and Dance City.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studio, and welcoming everybody back to the program, coast to coast and worldwide. That was Dave Rodman with the call of the Preakness Stakes. Shackleford holding off Animal Kingdom. It was a massive day for jockey Jesus Castanon and for trainer Dale Romans. Well, this afternoon, his son, Beasley, will be in action in the Tampa Bay Derby. Could be a huge day for his owners and for trainer Mark Hennig, who joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Mark, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Good morning. I hope you all are doing well.
Everything's good here in the Bluegrass. How's things in Florida?
Excellent. Really well. Beasley left at 4 a.m. this morning, arrived there at 8 a.m., so it was a nice, clean trip, and he's already settled into stall in Graham Motion's barn.
Ah, there you go. Go right to the top. No stakes barn for you. I've been waiting for a Shackleford to pop up and be really, really good, and it looks like you're taking first crack.
Well, we're going to take a crack at it. There's a lot of them coming, though. I've seen some nice maiden winners lately, and obviously that Colt of Todd's can run some. But we're going to give it a whirl.
Well, Mark Beasley, not only a son of Shackelford, but he is named for a small town in Texas, Beasley, Texas, where the population hovers, well, right around 650 persons. So not a big town, but named for that town, and maybe going to be the toast of the town in Louisville on the first Saturday in May. Do you even allow yourself to think about what that would be like?
Oh, every once in a while, but we're just going to try and be the toast of Tampa today. Take it one step at a time.
It would be cool if he went on to really make a name for himself, and maybe Mr. Lewis could have a statue in Beasley, Texas, like Mary Lou Whitney does in Saratoga.
Yeah, right. Or at least the horse could.
Yeah. Mark, we'll talk more about Beasley as it pertains to the Derby Trail and this year's Tampa Bay Derby, but there's such a great backstory here. When you talk about your relationship with Lee Lewis, you guys were at the Kentucky Derby together 24 years ago with your only Derby starter. That was Personal Hope back in 1993. It was right after you began your training career. Could you ever imagine that we'd be sitting here 24 years later and you'd be thinking, okay, boy, I haven't been back there since. I'd love to get back one more time.
No, I mean, unfortunately I was young enough at the time that I didn't probably appreciate where I was at and what I was going through as much as I would today, you know. And I think, you know, when you're cruising along at that age, you just think it's going to come to you all, so easily all the time, because it did that year. Certainly I had thought about it, but I've also been around long enough to know that you got to jump through a lot of hoops to get there.
24 years, that's in the Paul Mellon, Mac Miller category of owner-trainer relationships. Talk about that and how successful you guys have been.
Well, we've had a good run. I mean, Lee's a good friend of mine, first and foremost, and we formed that friendship when I was working for Wayne as an assistant. You know, it's ironic you bring up Paul Mellon and Mac Miller, because that day when Sea Hero won the Derby, the day we ran Personal Hope in it, and we were talking about it afterwards back at the barn, that, you know, it just seemed like the racing gods thought that was the way it should go that day. I mean, we turned for home in front that day, and if you ever look back and watch the race, I mean, coming around the turn, you had to think we were in really good shape. I think, like Gary told me that day when he got off of him, he said, I think both he and the horse were shocked when Sea Hero ran by him, because he said, we were still running hard. And he said, I think our horse lost focus. He said, I even, you know, it shocked me that horse went by us like he did. But it is, you know, Lee and I agreed that day, you know, our day will come, and you never know.
Well, I have to take the statue away from Beasley now and put it next to the Sea Hero statue in the paddock at Saratoga. That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
Mark, you've gone on to win more than 1,300 races in your training career. You've had so many good horses come through your operation, and you've been on the Derby Trail. It's not like you haven't been on the Derby Trail over the past 2.5 decades. A horse like Eddington comes to mind, for example. But what is it that makes it so challenging for a trainer to get to the Kentucky Derby year in and year out?
Well, I think, you know, for one thing, it's different for everybody. I mean, for me, in my case, you know, I don't want to take a horse there just to be participating, you know. And even in the case of Eddington, you know, he just was a horse that was coming to hand a little bit later. He probably didn't reach his best form until he turned four. So, you know, he was lightly raised. He ran well, you know, early, but he was still learning. And, you know, I think in a case like him, he really didn't belong at that point in a 20-horse field on the first Saturday of May. He just seemed like a better fit for the Preakness. So I think it probably depends on your personality, too, whether you're really trying to force one into a position that you know, you're comfortable with. And sometimes, you know, if the horse is still developing, it's hard to put one in that position.
Yeah, so many trainers that we talk to that are on the Derby trail, they say the horse has to bring you. You can't bring the horse. And that's usually the case with most races, not just the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. From day to day, from a claiming race to a maiden race, first race to the last. I mean, you can't train, obviously, you know, Jude, you can't just look at the condition book and point and say, oh, this is where we're going to run. You got to watch your horse first and foremost.
Talking to trainer Mark Hennig here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Beasley going to the post in this afternoon's Tampa Bay Derby. Mark, you mentioned Eddington maybe not being ready to compete in a 20-horse field on the first Saturday in May. What things or what signs are you going to be looking for from Beasley later today that will show you, okay, he's a horse that does belong in a 20-horse field on the first Saturday in May?
Well, hopefully, you know, he's got this start and one more. He's a horse, you know, that's moved forward with each race. But, you know, his first and third races, he was a little bit, you know, lost some focus around the quarter pole, I thought. I mean, it seems like we've really got him doing well now, handling the turns well, doing everything right. I just want to see him take another positive step forward. And I want to see how he stacks up against this group. I mean, you know, we all have the utmost respect for Battalion Runner, but, you know, until he's run against these horses, we don't know that, you know, we really have run in with these Derby caliber horses. So, you know, the main thing is, does he fit, and does he fit around two turns? And I think if he runs very well, we'll keep pushing forward.
As I was studying the race, it was interesting to me that he's improved his Brisnet late pace figures in every start. And last time out, it was his first race going two turns, and he ran a 99 late pace figure, the best of his career, even though he was head and head for the lead. And that's a real hard thing to do for a young horse. And I'm very encouraged by that. Do you think he's best if he sits a little bit?
I think he is best if he's got a target. But, you know, Jude, he's got plenty of natural speed. I mean, he's a very similar horse to a horse like a Personal Hope. He just has that natural speed. I mean, if they fall out of there and nobody is committed, he's likely to be in front. If somebody wants it, I don't think he's got any problem settling off of them. He's never going to be too far back because he just, you know, he's just got that natural stride that takes him along at a pretty decent clip.
Mark, when did you first get the sense that Beasley might be somewhat special?
When I breezed him last, I guess it was probably May or late May, maybe it was first 3/8, and he and another horse that I had went way too fast, shaded 35 without even blinking, and I thought, all right, we need to slow down here. And then from that point on, we kind of did slow down with him. He had a little issue that we backed off on him for, and but he was pretty Ray Charles type, you know, right from the onset.
Great analogy. Well, Beasley, a son of Shackelford, has that ability that his sire had, and he has that good early speed, as you heard Mark talk about just a few minutes ago. Mark, he gets a fourth different rider in as many starts today when you give a leg up to Irad Ortiz Jr. What do you say to Irad in the pre-race before you give him that leg up?
Well, Irad's very sharp, you know, and he's easy to talk to. I'm sure we'll have a conversation sometime during the day today. And the main thing I would like to see him is just, you know, be a passenger basically. And you know, he's not a tough horse to ride if as long as, you know, he just gets try to work out a clean trip. But I'm not going to tell him to send. I'm not going to tell him to take him back. And we're just going to have a conversation about, you know, the little idiosyncrasies that he showed in the past, but that I think are behind us.
Let me kind of go a little behind the scenes here, a little inside baseball with you, Mark. When a trainer has a jockey who has never ridden a horse for the first time and is going to be aboard in a graded stake like Irod is today, do you go to Irod like maybe a week before, 2 weeks before, when you make the decision and you say, hey, why don't you go back and watch his past couple of races and here's what I want you to look for? Is there that type of conversation between trainer and jockey that takes place?
There is, if you in a case like an Irod, he's a student of the game. I'm sure he's watched the races and, we've talked about it. So, we haven't been fortunate enough to keep the same rider, with Junior. He, had rotator cuff surgery. It's just kind of been one thing after the other. Javier had Gunavera, which we knew was always going to be an issue. So, from that point, it's just a matter of finding somebody you're comfortable with. Irod, I'm very comfortable with, and always been able to communicate with him very well.
Yeah, you guys went at a 20% clip, so it's not like you're putting somebody out of left field on the horse. You guys have a good rapport.
Absolutely.
Well, Mark, listen, all the best later today in the Tampa Bay Derby and down that road to Louisville, and good luck with Beasley today. We'll be cheering.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Mark Henning here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and get you set for the second half of the program. We'll tell you all about it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of 6 of his first 7 starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any 3-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride, racing toward the $1 million Florida Derby on April 1st, with plenty of great racing, wagering, and promotions still to come. This afternoon, play in the TSG Ultimate Betting Challenge, a live money contest with a $4,500 buy-in and 100% payback of all prize pool monies. And be sure to take advantage of lucrative guarantees in late pick 4 and late pick 5 and make a life-changing score by taking down the Rainbow Six. It's all at Gulfstream Park. Welcome to your playground.
International super sire Warfront has added even more graded stakes winners to his record, including recent two-year-old sensations Roly Poly, War Decree, and Brave Anna. With four Grade 1 winners last year and a growing list of graded stakes horses this year, the son of Danzig and world's number one sire of two-year-olds continues his reign among the globe's most influential stallions. Warfront at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And these three have come right together at the top of the stretch. Mastery's got a race on his hands now, but he's got a slight lead. And it's IRAP who's going to challenge from the outside. Bobby Abu Dhabi is left in their wake third. Late run from Dangerfield. Mastery having to work this afternoon. And Mike Smith going to work left-handed. And Mastery is responding. Mastery now moving away in the final furlong. Distance no problem for Mastery. He glides home a five-length winner in the Futurity. IRAP a good second, Dangerfield third, and Bobby Abu Dhabi.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, and happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning. Edging closer to the first Saturday in May, and in case you're wondering, now only 56 days, 8 hours, 37 minutes, and 15 seconds away from that Run for the Roses. Don't forget, we are your official radio home here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. We'll bring you all that coverage all throughout Derby Week and through the Run for the Roses, so make sure you're with us and check our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete broadcast schedule. And you can always follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. JT, the call of Mastery winning the Los Al Futurity in his most recent outing, coming out of the commercial break there. Mastery going to the post for five-time San Felipe Stakes winner Bob Baffert, looking to add to that record later today. He's the likely favorite in the race, and he looks really, really good. We'll see how he comes back as a three-year-old.
Yeah, he's a very talented horse. He's been training lights out for this race. And he looks super as far as the pace scenario and everything is considered. So I think he's got a good shot in there. It's not an easy race, though.
No, not an easy race at all. And you had the opportunity yesterday to talk with the Hall of Fame trainer. We're going to hear that interview coming up after the top of the hour, shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern. Before we get to that point, though, do have to ask you if you're ready for EquestriCon 2017. And if you're not, well, you better be, because it is coming to Saratoga in August. And the tickets went on sale about a week ago. You can go to EquestriCon.com to lock in your tickets to this unbelievable event. And if you haven't heard about EquestriCon, well, it is the first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show. Sounds like a lot. You say, well, what the heck is that? Well, the point of the convention is to bring the entire industry together under one roof and open the doors to the fans, allowing unprecedented access and opportunities for engagement. You'll be able to take part in different panels, workshops, meet and greets, entertainment, autograph signings, and you'll see appearances by racing authors and artists as well as vendors. Again, you can learn more, see a complete list of panelists at EquestriCon.com and get your tickets today. And remember that HRRN is proud to be the official radio partner of EquestriCon 2017. Saratoga is going to be here before we know it.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about the countdown to the Derby.
I am really excited about EquestriCon. I think it's going to be great. I think people are really going to enjoy it. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm really looking forward to it.
One quick note. We want to say a thank you to the Jockey Club of Canada for our nomination to the Sovereign Awards this year for what we did in Canada earlier, well, this past year with the Queen's Plate. Our broadcast of the Queen's Plate, one of three finalists for those Sovereign Awards coming up next month. And our thanks to them and everybody who took the time to say, yeah, we thought that was worthy of a nomination, and can't wait to get up there to Canada and see how it goes.
Yeah, can't wait for the Queen's Plate broadcast again. We're going to be back up there for that, and it's very, very humbling, very exciting. And we'll see if we bring home the chrome.
We'll find out. Again, that comes up in the middle of April. All right, we're going to step away for a quick little station ID. We'll come back with hour number two, tell you all about it next. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel, forever unbridled, two-lace-back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate rops in the Pegasus!
Drapong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Drapong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Drapong's the leader. Drapong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
And back with hour number two of the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. If you're coming to Lexington for the Keeneland meet coming up in April or for any purpose, make sure you check out those Jimmy Johns locations. Freaky fast, freaky good. And hoping that Billy White from Jimmy Johns will be able to sit in with us on this program next Saturday morning. But JT, in terms of what we've already covered today, it's been busy. We've talked about the Tampa Bay Derby with trainer Mark Hennig in the first half of the program. Mike Nyman joined us from Gulfstream to preview what's coming up later today with that big handicapping contest and even look back on that successful Fountain of Youth Day a week ago. And now we turn our attention to the San Felipe Stakes out in California with Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, who you talked with yesterday. That interview will come up shortly. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables will join us right around 9:25 Eastern to preview what's coming up for him at the OBS 2-year-old in training sale later this week. And then we'll go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway, at the end of the program with Mike Willman, who is the director of publicity at Santa Anita. And I talk about the San Felipe Stakes. That's just part of the puzzle that you're going to have out there trying to handicap that card today, because it's big cap day at Santa Anita.
Yeah, it's a fantastic card at Santa Anita, just what you'd expect for big cap day. The big cap itself is a nice handicapping puzzle. Maybe get a price horse in there and set the tone for the whole afternoon. But it's great. The San Felipe, interesting race. It was fun yesterday to catch up with Bob. He was a little preoccupied by his poached eggs, but
who wouldn't be?
we got to talk to him about Arrogate and American Anthem, but we started out talking about Mastery.
He's he's training really well, and so we're really excited about it. We're starting to get a little nervous, when the closer it gets to it. So hopefully that everything goes right and gets a good trip. And So this is the time of year that you want things to go right. We've seen what's happened, what's transpired in the last couple of weeks here with all the big guns, you know, fluttering a little bit. So you don't want to be part of that.
No, you got to avoid that like the plague. And you're so good at keeping horses happy, and you know, the way you train them now with the longer works, it's got to give you some confidence going into a race like this off a layoff that your horse is super fit.
Well, I mean, he's fit enough, and he's you know, he's a light horse, so he can handle a lot. He's got a beautiful way of moving, and plus he has a lot of speed if you need it. So he's got tactical speed. I've been, you know, he's been relaxing off of horses, but it seems like he's drawn inside all the heavy speed horses. So it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, Mike Smith, it's going to be a jockey's race, especially when you have a short field like that. Went in a turn, first turn. So, the break's going to be so important, like it always is, you know. So, but it's going to be interesting to see how we, you know, we're going to learn a lot about the horse this week.
Well, the cool thing about him is he's run three different kinds of races. His first race was kind of really good throughout, and then the second race he kind of had a big finish, and his last race he just ran away from the field and overpowered him. So it seems like he's got a lot of different gears.
Well, I mean, I think the race, his last race at Los Alamitos was very it was like he turned for home at the top of the stretch, and he went to idling a little bit, and I really had me worried there for a little bit. And then Mike said he as soon as he got into him a couple times, and he just took off, and, you know. So then he finished really well. So it was, that's the only time I felt like, wow, what's going on here? You're supposed to be, you know, overpower this field, and he hit a little low there. But then I think he just figured it out. But he's come back and he's worked really well, and so but it's going to be a tough race. There's some fast horses in there, so I think this is one of the toughest preps this year.
Yeah, there's really three horses that have similar speed and running style, so it is going to be a challenge. But he's got a lot of talent, and a lot of people have been on his bandwagon for a long, long time.
He's got a great name. And got a Hall of Fame jockey, so hopefully he'll, you know, and he's, you know, he's undefeated. So, but that Gormley, he looks pretty tough in there. He's going to be tough.
Yeah, he's.
I've been watching him train, and he looks great.
Does he? He's a pretty salty horse. That 111 drill on February 27th was super impressive. But your horse has a lot of good workouts too, and looking forward to watching him run. You've got another Derby horse, American Anthem. I noticed you worked him out of the gate on March the 4th. I wondered if you slapped one of my old saddle towels on him.
No, I don't know what happened to those. They sort of disappeared. You know, it's like everybody wants one. You know, they're worth a lot of money. But I wanted to sharpen up. He's a heavier horse, and I just wanted to sharpen him up a little bit because he's going to have to. He hadn't run in a while, but he's a horse that's got a lot of. He's got so much heart, and so much try in him. You know, Mike really likes him, and he tries hard, and so he's pretty gutted. He gutted out. He could have easily got beat the other, you know, when he was. Beat badly the other day, but he just hung in there. He was trying to win when he ran against Gormley, so I think that's been like the most impressive prep that I've seen this year. Other than that, the one last week was pretty impressive. That horse winning the Fountain of Youth looked pretty good.
Yeah, he's a pretty sharp horse, Gunavera, so just another one on the trail. As you mentioned, we've had some defections, some horses not run up to snuff, and we'll have to see what happens down the line. Before I let you go, everybody would like an Arrogate update, the greatest horse in the world. You seem to have a knack with those.
Well, I think I'm pretty fortunate, you know, and come up with these horses, and so it's been, you know, American Pharoah, then him, and hopefully one of these three-year-olds will step it up. So you know, it's one of those, just enjoy them. You know, I'm always just looking forward to the next week. So that's the way I never look back. But it's pretty exciting to have a horse like him, and he looks great. Headed to Dubai this next week. So I got a pretty busy schedule. We got Mastery tomorrow. We got American Anthem next week and the Rebel. Dubai the next week. So hopefully, you know, hope that, you know, with some racing luck, we could have a huge 3 weeks.
Are you making the trip to Dubai?
Oh, I'm going.
Oh,
I'll
cool.
be there.
Good.
I'm ready. I got my doctor. He's on red alert. He's going to meet me at the hospital. I mean, at the airport with the paddles. I'm ready.
Well, let's hope you don't have to resort to that. You can have a little bit more
yeah,
fun
exactly.
this year.
I've been watching my weight. I'm ready. I've been training for this trip, so I'm ready.
Oh, that's good. That's if you run as good as the Baffert horses run, you'll be in good shape. So, well, my son's going over there for Express Bet Television. So if you bump into him, say hello. And we thank you for your time. I know you got your eggs on the way. So I hope they're not too rubbery.
We're going to go get some. We're going to get a free bet. They got to be hard as a rock right now.
Send them back. All right. Thanks,
All right,
Bob.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Nice talking to you.
The doctor going to be waiting with the paddles. Great line.
Yeah.
In typical Baffert fashion.
Evidently not worried about his cholesterol, yeah, eating yeah. poached eggs.
In training. That's one heck of a way to train.
Yeah. he's something else, I'll tell you. It wasn't his best day, but he still has a great sense of
humor. I thought he was great. I thought that was really enjoyable. And, you know, one thing he mentioned when you asked him about Mastery in the San Felipe was that he thought this is one of the toughest prep races this year. Do you agree?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the field and, you know, Gormley, obviously, he's a grade one winner. He's a pretty salty horse. And then you got Iliad, who Bob used to train, and he was impressive winning last time out.
Yeah.
So I think Bob knows how much quality that horse has. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good group. It's a small field, but it's a good field. And the other horse in there, Ann Arbor Eddie, Doug O'Neill's horse, I think if there's a big speed duel, which it sounds like Mastery's not taking any prisoners, it sounds to me like Bob would like to get him out there on the lead. And you've got Gormley, who's a speed horse, and Iliad, who's stretching out. So I'm thinking Ann Arbor Eddie might have a great trip if these horses burn themselves out up front, because Ann Arbor Eddie's never been out of the money, and he's got some really solid late pace figures. So it's a pretty interesting race, really. I'm really looking forward to it. 5:30 Eastern time, 2:30 at Santa Anita, goes off as the fifth.
Yeah, and again, it is all part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage. I know that race is taking place at Santa Anita, but we're going to lump it all together for you in one big show. 5 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and streaming at horseracingradio.net and in Spanish at hrnenespanol.com. You'll hear the San Felipe, the Tampa Bay Derby, and you'll hear the Silks Run from Gulfstream. All three of those races live, 5 to 6 Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Jockey K-Mac, Christina McManigal, have that coverage for you later today. Looking back at what Bob has done in the San Felipe, Jude, I mentioned he's won it a record 5 times. His first coming in 1999 with a horse by the name of Prime Timber. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Prime Timber. His other four? Who do you think? Try to throw out some names.
Oh,
any idea?
I have no idea. I'm the worst at that kind of thing.
Point Given, 2001. Okay. He was pretty good. Then he had Preaching at the Bar. Remember that name?
Yeah, Preaching at the Bar. That's a name out of the past.
2004. 2009, he came back with Pioneer of the Nile. And then in 2015, he had Dortmund. Of course, last year it was Danzig Candy who won this particular race.
Yeah, he's had some nice 3-year-olds, obviously.
But, yeah, he's done okay for himself.
Yeah, it's not surprising that he's won this race several times. Probably Santa Anita Derby prep, he's won plenty of Santa Anita Derbies, too.
You know who he surpassed when he got to that fifth win in the San Felipe?
No.
The great Charlie Whittingham.
Well, Charlie Whittingham he was the Bob Baffert of his day. Right? He had all the good horses in California for a long, long time.
All right, let's look at Charlie's. You ready for this? Charlie's four winners in the San Felipe. I just think this would be kind of fun. All right, so 1956 was his first. Let's see if I can find it. 1956 was Social Climber.
Social Climber was a good horse. Now, I was not alive for that one. I finally get to say that on the air. I was not alive for Social Climber.
How about his second one in 1963? Denodato? Did I say it correctly?
Yeah.
Or Denodato?
I think it was Denodato, especially if Joe Hernandez called, which he did.
Okay. And in 1966, he came back with Saber Mountain, and then he had to wait until 1989 to get that fourth victory in the San Felipe with a little horse you might have heard of. Went by the name of Sunday Silence.
Yeah, he wasn't too shabby.
No. Great history to that San Felipe.
Yeah, it's a good race, and a race that's been around a long time and brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about the San Felipe and that great card at Santa Anita today. Jude, you referenced the Big Cap, which you said was a really strong renewal coming up later today as well. Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita, is going to be with us right around 9:45 Eastern time, and we'll talk more about the card with him. But how about that Big Cap for a minute? Let's talk about that race, because it is a nice little renewal.
Yeah, well, you know, the first Big Cap was the first $100,000 race in the United States, and Dr. Stroob put up the money, and it's been a fixture on the calendar ever since. You know, we don't have Airgate in here, but Shaman Ghost, he ran second to him in the Pegasus, and despite the fact that he dumped his rider and ran off a little bit yesterday, he's fine and doing well. But there's a lot of solid horses in here, and you talk to handicappers, you look at social media, and it seems like everybody has a different horse that they like. So that makes for a good race. The weights seem relatively accurate, and we'll see what develops, see if somebody can break through in this spot. It's a good, really good race. I kind of like High Happy a little bit, who's in with 116 pounds, gets Lasix, and a brilliant training job, in my opinion. We'll see how the results bear out, but Felipe Souza prepped this horse a mile and a quarter on the turf, so he's got a mile and a quarter in him. He only got beat two lengths in that race to Isotherm. He's won on the dirt, which Isotherm hasn't. He won a grade one at Palermo in Argentina, November of 2015, so I think that horse is flying under the radar, and I'm hoping to get a decent price on him.
The Big Cap comes up as race 10 on that program at Santa Anita today, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 local time out on the West Coast at the Great Race Place. We asked a poll question this morning, and we ask you to weigh in with your answers at HRRN on Twitter. The question, with the Hall of Fame nominees being announced this past week, is this. Five jockeys are nominated to this year's Hall of Fame. Robbie Alvarado, Javier Castellano, Victor Espinoza, Garrett Gomez, and Craig Perrett. Those are the five choices. We want to know who gets your vote. You can vote right now for your Hall of Fame jockey. Who is it? And keep in mind, just like the actual Hall of Fame voting committee, you can vote for more than one of these riders. It doesn't have to be just one. Which of these riders do you feel deserves to be in the Hall of Fame this year? And currently, it looks as if Garrett Gomez is the leader. Garrett, with a few votes here, Craig Perrett also getting one, Victor Espinoza. Interestingly enough, nobody so far voting for Javier Castellano, which you and I started the program when we threw out the poll question, and you said he seems to be a shoe-in this year for the Hall of Fame.
I would think he'd probably be a no-brainer, but, you know, I've been wrong before.
Well, the HRN Nation, not thinking that's the case. No Javier votes to this point, which means we're probably going to get flooded with a bunch of Javier votes, but that's okay. I think all five of these individuals extremely deserving. As you know, Jude, I've been on the Robbie Alvarado bandwagon to see him in the Hall of Fame. I think his credentials warrant it. I think if you look inside his numbers and what he's done throughout his career, I think no doubt Robbie Alvarado should be in the Hall of Fame. And nice to see him on the ballot this year. We'll see if he gets in.
Yeah, he's had a very accomplished career and very talented rider. I think he's going to have a great day at Tampa today, too.
Yeah?
I do.
Yeah, he very well could. All right, don't forget, if you missed any portion of this show or any of our shows, head to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcasts of all of our programs, including our exclusive interviews. You can listen at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at all the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, we told you about the five jockeys, but they are not alone. Espinoza Goldikova among the Hall of Fame finalists. That's the headline at bloodhorse.com. Five jockeys, three trainers, and three racehorses comprise 11 finalists on the National Museum of Racing's 2017 Hall of Fame ballot as selected by the museum's Hall of Fame nominating committee. The finalists are jockeys Robbie Alvarado, Javier Castellano, Victor Espinoza, Garrett Gomez, and Craig Perrett. Trainers Mark Cassie, John Sheriffs, and David Whiteley. And racehorses Gio Ponti and Goldikova along with Kona Gold. Alvarado, Castellano, Cassie, Sheriffs, Gio Ponti, and Goldikova are first-time finalists. And you can read more headlines and industry news by visiting bloodhorse.com. And don't forget that Bloodhorse and Weatherbees have recently released their new Global Stallions app. It has a wealth of continuously updated information on over 700 stallions. The app is free and works with both phones and tablets. You can download the app today or go to globalstallionsapp.com to learn more. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the OBS two-year-old in training sale as we visit with Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables. Then we'll take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway at the end of the show with Mike Willman from Santa Anita. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeders Sales is the two-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause standing at Spendthrift.
New to cool more America for 2017, Air Force Blue. A force to be reckoned with. A champion two-year-old by Warfront.
And Air Force Blue now comes bounding through. Two, three lengths clear. A really good horse.
A three-time Group 1 winner. Armed with a devastating turn of foot. He's ready to take flight as a sire. It's time to get on board. Cool More America, home of champions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Bernardini, brilliant once again, and he bounds home to an effortless victory in the late stages here.
Bernardini rolled to victory in the Travers before defeating older horses in the historic Jockey Club Gold Cup in his next start, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and the Sales Ring Smash. A Travers winner who sired Travers winners in his first two crops and was recently represented by a $1.45 million colt sold to MV Magner at the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale last week. The top price colt of the sale became Bernardini's fourth seven-figure juvenile in the past 5 years. No stallion has more, and only Uncle Mo can match it. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
After a 44 and 2.5 mile Fish Trap Road has taken the lead. It is Fish Trap Road in front coming to the eighth pole. Star Hill second on the outside and closing in. Sharp as Tech is down toward the rail. Then Tail is the ball. Tom's Ready running on for the back of the pack, weaving through traffic. It is Fish Trap Road. Tom's Ready on the inside, coming on through from dead last to first. Tom's Ready and the Woody Stevens. He beat Fish Trap Road, then Star Hill, and Sharp Azteca in a final time of 1 minute 21.38 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you here on the network and happy to have you with us. And JT, we're coming to everybody from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios and now heading back down to the Sunshine State to visit with our good friend Kip Elzer of Kirkwood Stables. And Larry Colmus had the call of the Woody Stevens last year. Tom's Ready getting the victory that afternoon. And Tom's Ready, one of several top-notch horses to come through the Kirkwood program. And Kip with us now here on HRN. Kip, welcome, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you.
How was that little trip down memory lane, listening to Tom's Ready win the Woody Stevens? Had to be quite a day for you.
Oh, it was just wonderful, and to have it happen for such wonderful people, the Bensons, and he was a colt that was very nearly good enough on the Derby trail, and Dallas had the foresight to stop and shorten him up, and he's a really, really nice horse, shortened up that a little bit. That it's just great.
Did you know early on that he was going to be special and could really run?
We liked him right from the start. Of course, you never know just how good they're going to turn out. The pyramid gets very steep, but we thought all along that he was a very nice colt.
You have such a great training program, and you take your time, old school horsemanship, you can't beat it. So these horses, they have a really nice foundation when they come out of your outfit.
Well, that's what we try to do. We train at a wonderful place, the Springdale Racecourse in Camden. We've got lots of choices, different surfaces, different things to do with horses, and we can just build up a foundation of days and miles underneath them that when they get under serious pressure at the races, those early days serve them well.
Kip, you look at some of the horses that have come through your program and horses that you've sold or worked with on the farm, names going back to the likes of Soaring Softly and Sharp Cat, Alphabet Soup, Memories of Silver, Smoke Clack and Plum Pretty, the list goes on and on and on. And I'm just kind of curious, what's the key when you start working with a young horse to get them ready for the two-year-old sales and get them ready for racing? What's the key? What's your approach?
Well, I guess the easiest analogy is they're kids in school. So they've got to learn to come in, sit in your seat, raise your hand if you want to talk, it's not as much as a Montessori is valuable for kids early in life. Once you get into high school, it's not Montessori anymore. It's not freeform. There has to be a certain amount of discipline. There has to be a schedule. But if you give a child a test before he's ready to take it, he cannot pass. So before you give the test, you have to make sure that they're ready to take it and go on to the next step. Whether you call yourself a high school teacher or a high school coach, it's very much the same, and it's very much a putting in a cumulative number of days and miles.
Well, that's the way to go about it, and a horse that's close to both of us, New Yawker, he's retired now. He's out in a beautiful field at Chestnut Farm, and he went through your program. He retired at the age of 10. Made over almost $500,000 just the hard way. But what a tribute to your program to have a horse that stayed sound to his 10-year-old season.
We just love those kind of ones that at whatever level they just lay it down for you every time they go out there. I've got an old horse that I've bred at home now. He just turned 10, called Chetan, and he wasn't a top class horse, but you know, every time you led him over there, he gave you everything he had. And they're just the ones that are fun to work around, and they certainly have earned their lifelong retirement.
Visiting with Kip Elzer of Kirkwood Stables. You can learn more by going to kirkwoodstables.com. He's joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kip, you have the OBS March 2-year-old in training sale coming up this week, and you have a few horses you're going to be offering. A couple of those, a colt by Distorted Humor and a filly by More Than Ready, have already breezed. You have a filly by Congrats who is going to breeze later this afternoon. The two breezes, 10-1 for the colt by Distorted Humor and the filly by More Than Ready. Very, very solid.
They're both very solid horses. They breezed well. They galloped out well, and most importantly, the next day they're both in great shape and kicking and squealing. So we're very pleased with both of them, and I think the Congrats filly that breezes later on today is set up to do just the same thing. So it's a consistent, very solid group.
Nothing beats going into sale with three nice horses that are right where you want them. I mean, that doesn't happen every day.
Nope. We're glad to be in the spot we're in.
Kip, you've had so much success selling these 2-year-olds. How do you balance? Obviously, horses that breeze quickly tend to sell a bit better, and that may be putting it kindly, but how do you balance wanting a horse to go quickly and not wanting them to go too fast because they're still young horses?
It is a balancing act, and you've just got to be observant, aware of your horse, and at all times, yes, we're marching toward a specific sale date, but you've got to make sure that you're taking care of the horse on the way. So don't take any unnecessary risks. We all know that in any athletic endeavor, athletes get injured. But catching impending problems, catching things early, being observant, you know, that's what our job is, to bring them to peak performance, but not over the edge.
When you have the record of success that you do, you acquire relationships over the years with customers that trust you and trust your judgment. How important is that when somebody comes to your consignment that they know you're giving them the straight facts?
Oh, it's all important. We've been doing this a long time, and it's very, very gratifying to me when the same people come back year after year. You know, I got so-and-so from you, just like your old horse. He turned out well. I want another horse. We sell a piece of ourselves with every horse. So it's very gratifying when that comes back.
Well, you can check out the video of those breezes on the Kirkwood website, kirkwoodstables.com, and then you can go see Kip in barn number 9 at the OBS March sale and tell him that you heard him on the radio and tell him all about how cool those breezes were, because I mentioned they both went very, very well, 10-1 the time for both of those horses. Kip, you've been somewhat of a pioneer, not just here in the United States, but internationally with a lot of the things that you've done. I know you make trips to England, you make trips to South Africa. You've got another big endeavor that you're getting ready to launch into pretty soon.
Well, we're it's fun. This game will take you anywhere in the world if you let it. So, as you said, I was the first 2-year-old seller to go to England and sell at the Tattersall sale over there. I've gone down and we've built a 2-year-old selling business in South Africa with some wonderful partners down there. I'm leaving in 10 days to go down to a yearling sale in Australia. Their season is exactly opposite from us. So it's fall down there, going to their Easter yearling sale. Going to look for a few horses to pinhook back into their October, spring, 2-year-old sales down there. I'm going to be working with an old friend. You probably remember Murray Johnson is the trainer of Perfect Drift up here.
Sure.
Murray is Australian. He was here for 20 years and has since moved back to Australia. So we're going to put together a joint venture down there and try to gather up some young horses from clients and buy a few and start a 2-year-old preparation and consignment business down there. I'm really looking forward to it. We've been down on a couple of pleasure/reconnaissance trips, and it's great racing, good horses, a vibrant, strong market, and we're going to go and give it a shot.
How many frequent flyer miles do you have accumulated?
A lot.
South Africa.
The problem is getting the use of it. They've all got these restricted times and this and that. You don't get to use them as often as you would like. But anyway, the traveling doesn't bother me because I love what I do when I get there.
He's Kip Elzer, Kirkwood Stables. You can head to his consignment in Barn 9 at the OBS sale. If you're going to be down there, make sure you stop by and tell him that you heard him on the program and say hello and take a look at those 3 outstanding 2-year-olds he'll be offering at the sale later this week. Kip, all the best, my friend. Thanks for all your support of what we do here on the network, and safe travels to Australia. Good luck at OBS.
Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, and say hello to Murray Johnson for us, too. Murray, one of the nicest guys that you would meet in the sport of thoroughbred racing, right? When he had Perfect Drift and that tremendous run, he was so accommodating to all the media and to everybody that came up to him and wanted to talk about Perfect Drift.
Yeah, Murray's a great guy, and we were stabled across from one another at Santa Anita when he first came to the United States. Yeah, we've been friends a long time, long before Perfect Drift came along, and he's a wonderful fella. He's great to be around, and he was an excellent trainer, and that's really cool that him and Kip have partnered up.
It's really neat. Kip's had a lot of success with England, with South Africa. His consignments in South Africa are quite often he's the leading consigner there, but he's always among the top consigners, and it's a great program, and he really has a knack on figuring out how to go about establishing a sales program, a 2-year-old sales program internationally, and we'll see how it goes in Australia, but there's no reason to think that those Kirkwood horses aren't going to be well-received, and especially with a guy like Murray in his corner, you would think that that's an absolute slam dunk. Mike Willman is going to join us in our final segment of the program, as we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway, he'll talk about that San Felipe Stakes in California today. He'll talk about Big Cap and some of the other stakes races on a loaded program on the West Coast. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
At the quarter pole, it's American Anthem trying to fend off Gormley. Gormley's level with him. Gormley travelling well on the outside with 3/16 left to go. Takes the lead by a half length from American Anthem. 6 lengths away then in the field is Big Hit with an 8th left to go. It's Gormley in front. American Anthem second, coming back strongly on the inside. Gormley's ahead in front. American Anthem dogged on his inside. American Anthem lacking experience and seasoning. Gormley, American Anthem, a thriller in the sham. Gormley, a nose, American Anthem. 12 lengths to Big Hit, followed by Bird Is the Word, who crept into the superfecta at 45-1.
Michael Rona with the call. Gormley winning the sham stakes last time out at Santa Anita. That was back on January 7th. He looks to take the next step along that road to the Kentucky Derby later today as he takes on Mastery, Iliad, and everybody else in that San Felipe Stakes. Again, if you're just joining us, that race at Santa Anita coming up as race number 5. So it's early, and because of that, we're going to be able to include that Derby prep in our coverage from 5 to 6 Eastern this afternoon, part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series presented by the FTBOA. You're going to hear the San Felipe, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the Silks Run from Gulfstream. All those 5 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM93, horseracingradio.net, and in Spanish at hrnenespanol.com. And Jude, a quick sidebar there. Our Spanish weekly talk show follows this program on hrnenespanol.com. Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma bring you interviews and insight all in Spanish as to what's coming up this weekend. It's called Hablando de Abismo, which means talking racing, and you can listen on that Spanish website, hrnenespanol.com. 10 to 11 Eastern time every single Saturday morning.
Yeah, those guys do a great job and have boundless energy. And everybody that listens seems to enjoy it.
Boundless.
Boundless.
I like that word. Boundless.
Wouldn't you say that best describes El Potro Roberto Rodriguez?
Pretty much, yeah.
Boundless energy.
Yeah. Tasmanian devil.
Well, that's a whole different story, but he's always got a whirling dervish. Yeah, he's always got a smile on his face. He's very into the game. Loves racing. Loves the personalities and the horses. And he's everywhere you want to be.
All right, we are efforting Mike Willman at Santa Anita a bit early out there, 6:45 Pacific. He's going to join us hopefully in the next couple of minutes to talk about that program at Santa Anita and that big card, including the big cap, coming up later today. But in the meantime, Jude, we haven't really talked about the Tampa Bay Derby. We did it a little bit in the first half of the program with our interview with trainer Mark Hennig talking about Beasley, who goes to the post in there. But this is a pretty solid group. Tapprit figures to get a lot of respect following that effort behind McCracken last time out. McCracken was expected to run here, but because of his ankle issue, he is going to miss the race. Point for the Bluegrass Stakes instead. How'd you see the Tampa Bay Derby?
Well, you know, Tapprit got a lot of ink after his last race to McCracken. It was a good effort. He's a talented horse. His debut effort was not so hot, but he came back and broke his maiden at Gulfstream Park West going a mile, and then won a nice little stakes, the Pulpit, at Gulfstream in the Slop, a one-turn mile race at Gulfstream. Last time in the Sam F. Davis, he made the late run. He looked good doing it. He's a tremendous athlete. He's by Tappet. He's out of a successful Appeal mare, kind of a speedy pedigree, but a horse that can really finish, and I think he'll be a tough foe. No Dozing was very disappointing in the Sam Davis. As a matter of fact, it was the worst race of his life.
Yeah.
And we don't know why. He came out of that race and worked well. He had a bullet, 47-2, right out of the race. So I'm thinking he was just a little rusty and he could improve. We talked to Mark about Beasley. Wild Shot is an interesting horse, too. Rusty Arnold, you know, training this one. He ran well in the Sam Davis, got a little tired at the end, but I think they've been teaching him to rate a little bit, and I think he'll get a patient ride from Robbie Alvarado today, and he might get first run on the closers in here. A lot of speed in this race, so it's going to be a trip race.
All right, the Tampa Bay Derby is race 11, 5:27 Eastern, 2:27 out west. That's the scheduled post time anyways at Tampa Bay Downs. Speaking of out west, it's a massive day of racing at Santa Anita. The Great Race Place is home to five stakes races this afternoon. Four of those are graded, the Grade 2 San Felipe, and then a trio of Grade 1s with the Triple Bend, the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, and then the Big Cap, which comes up as the signature event, race number 10. And who better to talk about those races than our good friend Mike Willman, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. Mike, welcome, my friend. Thanks for getting up early again.
Hey, thank you. Great to be with you guys, and looking for a beautiful day out here.
Yeah, what a program. I mentioned those three grade ones. You throw in the grade two Derby prep, the San Felipe. Then you have, the China Doll? Is that the last race on the program today?
Yeah, that's the three-year-old filly thing at a mile at overfilled, mile on grass. You mentioned the San Felipe. It's not a grade one, but that's the race really that I have to sell because, you know, it's Derby fever time, and you've got Baffert, who's got an undefeated colt. You got John Sheriffs, who's got Gormley, who he's 3-for-4 and comes off a solid win in the Sham. And Doug O'Neill, he tries two turns for the first time with Iliad for Kaleem Shah, the new client. So you got some drama built in, plus these three colts, to me, they're very, very tough to separate. So the San Felipe, I think, holds a great deal of interest.
Yeah, it's a really nice race, and Baffert, we had him on. I interviewed him yesterday, and he said he thought this was one of the toughest Derby preps of the year. Would you agree with that?
I would, but you guys would have a better idea on that than me. I have to be so honest, Jude. You know, we get in the barrel out here with the day-to-day minutia, everything going on surrounding a live race card. And I don't do that good a job of watching the out-of-town races. But I know you guys do. But this is what I've heard, that this one's coming up tougher maybe than most. And we were obviously very happy to see Jerry and Ann Moss and Sheriff stay home with Gormley, because they were between this race and the Arkansas Derby. So, we've got them here. Maybe it was a Rebel. I'm sorry.
Well, Santa Anita's been a tremendous source of Derby winners recently, and looks like the trend could continue. Pretty salty horses you've got running out there in the beautiful sunshine at the foot of the San Gabriel Mountains.
Thank you very much. Jude, we majestic have had an inordinate amount of Kentucky Derby winners come from here of late, but I get a little tired of writing Santa Anita based so-and-so, Santa Anita based so-and-so. And that only means that they're winning out of town. I like them when they run here.
Yeah, well said. Mike, which three-year-old has impressed you the most, at least one of the ones that you've seen in person out there?
Again, Mike, I'm being honest with you. I can't separate these three, Mastery, Gormley, and Iliad. You don't know, how big a step forward they're going to take. And we haven't seen Mastery since the race at Los Alamitos. I've watched the tape, but I wasn't down there that day. We did see him first time out break his maiden. Couldn't have been any more impressive. And so, bada boom, bada bing, big money Mike Smith is on him. Bayerana rode him the one time. I thought Gormley was very impressive in the Sham. And Iliad, he kind of blew me away the way he won the 7-furlong San Vicente. I'm sorry to kind of dodge it, but I just can't go with one of those three with a lot of conviction over the other two. I just can't do it.
Well, we'll have a better idea after that race goes about 2:30 West Coast time, and it is a good prep. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we've got $1 million guaranteed late pick four today, so that's that helps, and of course $100,000 guaranteed pick six. But that $1 million late four is something that people are going to be participating in, no question about it. And that kicks off with the Triple Bend. And Jude, Ron Ellis he's been a guy just kind of on the ropes over this whole thing coming out of that Breeders' Cup sprint. I'm sure he's just anxious to get over there, tighten the girth, run this horse, kick somebody's ass, and let's stop talking about what happened in November. It's just a nightmarish type thing.
Yeah, I was.
Kobe's back. I'll hope to be running late. Gets a new rider with Castellano coming in town.
I was racking my brain yesterday about a horse that's more controversial in his lifetime than Masochistic.
Jude, I said as much when I wrote the advance the other day, and I said Starcross Masochistic. Here's a horse I hate to say it, but he was sneezed first time out. I mean, you know, he ran fifth in a Cowbred Maiden Special, and the videotape would suggest that, you know, a 100% effort certainly was not made. He was then put on an airplane and ran on Kentucky Derby Day, I believe, in the third race on the card, in an open maiden special in which I believe he drew the rail in a full field, got bet off the board down to 2-1. There were reports of AC Avila, you know, going out of Louisville with a caravan of cash. you know, and then AC, he's in trouble. The horse is transferred over, and now you have this. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's a 7-year-old now, cowbred. The bottom line is he can really run, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's gotten more ink than Seattle Slough ever did. It was a question to me yesterday. I was trying to think, is there any other horse like this? And there really isn't that I could remember. And I've been around a long time, as you know.
Well, Jude, let me ask you this: what would motivate someone to take a horse who would run fifth, as I said, in a Cowbred Maiden Special, and then go to, of all places, Churchill Downs on, of all days, Kentucky Derby Day, and run in, of all races, not a maiden 20. Of course, you wouldn't find one of those on Derby Day, but an open maiden special. I mean,
well, you know, there's only one reason, and that's the cash bet. And
thank you.
And you know, Derby Week is notorious for crazy things like that happening. People love to ship in because there's a lot of uninitiated fans, and it's not surprising, and I'm sure most of the rumors are probably true.
Thank you, Jude. moving along, we talked about Kobe's back. We haven't seen him. It's kind of funny. We've been juggling the racing calendar. The Triple Bend typically run on Gold Cup Day through the years at Hollywood Park, and it was run on Gold Cup Day at Santa Anita last June 25th, but we've moved it up now. Kobe's back was third in that race in June, and he hasn't run since. And here's Castellano, a four-time Eclipse Award-winning jockey. We don't see that much of him. He's into ride, as you guys know. He's the kind of horse you just kind of let him fall out of there and let the chips fall. He's a stone, late-running sprinter. I'm glad to see him back in action. But if Masakisic, for any reason, were to get some pressure up front, which off the PPs it doesn't look like he will, but if he does, Kobe could make things interesting.
Talking with Mike Willman, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, a couple of minutes left before we have to wrap it up, so let's move on to the Frank E. Kilroe Mile and then the Big Cap. Tell me about those two races.
Well, the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, you got to take a look at the Arcadia here on February 11th, and there's three horses there, they being Bolo, What a View, and Conquest Enforcer. You know, What a View left Bolo for dead. 3/16 of a mile from home. And this has got to be on Mike Smith's all-time highlight reel. How anybody can wait like Smith did, and he does on a consistent basis, that long, I don't know. He said after the race, look, he said, he's a big, long, striding horse. I know he doesn't run around a turn. He let him straighten up, didn't call upon him till the furlong pole, and Bolo was able to get up. Tyler Bays, after the race, I mean, he looked like he'd been hit, you know, I've been in a mortar attack, and he just said, I can't beat Mike Smith. So Bolo seldom runs two alike, but if he does, he's strictly the horse to beat. I believe he's a 3-1 favorite on the line. He's a physical specimen.
Yeah. What do you think of Dortmund trying the grass? He's got the pedigree for it big time.
I agree, Jude, but I have to be very honest on y'all's show. I don't really think this was Art Sherman's idea. I think Kaleem's been kind of wanting to try the grass. I think if he runs in the Triple Bend today, he'd be right there going 7/8. They were nominated for both. Okay, Big Brown was a stakes winner on grass. All right. We know Dortmund's a grade one horse on dirt. Art's saying, well, this should be a little easier race. I see him running maybe 4th, 5th, to be honest, dude. Hope I'm wrong.
Mike, I hate to shortchange the Big Cap, but in a minute or less, who wins that historic race?
Okay, the aforementioned Javier Castellano's in to ride his first ever Big Cap. That's kind of hard to believe. Jimmy Jerkins ran for the first time in it last year with F&X, named after a divorce that didn't go that good. I think he punches through today with Shaman Ghost. Jimmy was really happy with the way he outfooted California Chrome to the gate down there to the first turn in Florida. And, you know, I think Shamin goes to, we know his abilities at a mile and a quarter. The problem is Midnight Storm is going to be out there all alone. But I think Shamin Goetz gets the money.
All right, Mike Willman, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much for being here and enjoy the day.
All the best. Ciao.
Another Hall of Fame appearance by Mike Willman from Santa Anita. Like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. JT, we covered a lot of ground today, my friend. Our thanks to Mike Nyman from Gulfstream, Mark Hennig for joining us in the first half of the program. Of course, Bob Baffert, that interview you did yesterday. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables and Mike Willman. Don't forget to check out the podcast at your leisure, horseracingradio.net, and some of these interviews posted as well. All there, horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes, and join us 5 to 6 Eastern today for coverage of the San Felipe Tampa Bay Derby and Saturdays at Gulfstream.
Yeah, it's a big day. Let's have some fun.
Our
make
thanks
some money.
To our producer, Lee Delapina, Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna, and thanks to Sean C. for our social media. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.